Just got a few slides. And what I'd like to talk about this morning is actually predicting the future. And that certainly is a biblical topic. The Bible, on numerous occasions, as we read through it, we can see that it has effectively predicted the future about people, about places, about different times in history. And so this morning I'd like to talk specifically about one prediction that the Bible made about the Messiah. As we read through the Old Testament, there's a recurring theme. And the theme that one of the themes we find is that someone great is coming. A great ruler is coming to rule over Israel. That's the theme that we get all throughout the Old Testament. And one of those passages names this great ruler by name. Daniel, the 9th chapter, says that this great ruler is going to be named the Messiah. And this is something that the Jews were really looking forward to this. They were looking forward to this Messiah. They would talk among themselves. We can look at their ancient writings. They were writing about this coming Messiah. And they ask each other, what would he be like? When would he come? What would he look like? And there were some clues all throughout the Old Testament that gave indication about when he would come, what he would be like when he did come. And even into the New Testament, we can read they were still looking for that Messiah. We know that Andrew, who would become an apostle of Jesus in John the first chapter, he indicated, we're looking for this Messiah. Maybe this Jesus, maybe this is this Messiah. Then later in John the 4th chapter, the Samaritan woman at the well, she didn't appear to be somebody who was really righteous, based on the lifestyle she seemed to be living. But even she knew that there's this Messiah, he's coming. She mentioned the Messiah. She said, one day the Messiah will come and we'll worship. And so it was just something throughout all the Old Testament, the Jews were looking forward to this Messiah. So what I'd like to do this morning is look at passages in the Old Testament that talked about this Messiah, this ruler to come. And really come up with a list of criteria and say, okay, what was this Messiah supposed to be like? And once we come up with that list of criteria, let's look and see, did Jesus Christ fit all that criteria? Another thing we'll look at is, what was the probability that one person could actually fulfill all this criteria? There's certainly no shortage of passages to look at when it comes to the Messiah, so we're not going to turn to all of them. I'd really like to just look at five different passages. But there's a lot of them. Peter Stoner, in his book called Science Speaks, he looked at 48 prophecies about the Messiah. Josh McDowell, in his book Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he outlined 61 major prophecies of the Messiah. And the historian Edersheim, he wrote in his book that the Jews have 456 specific Old Testament passages that they use to refer to the Messiah. So we don't have time to look at all of these. I just like to actually look at the ones that I think are what I call obvious predictions about the Messiah. And when I say obvious, I guess what I mean is, if I were reading in the Old Testament and I didn't know anything about Jesus, or I'd never read the New Testament, I could look at that and say, yeah, that's making a prediction about someone to come. It'd be obvious to me, without any prior knowledge of Jesus or the New Testament, that this is a prediction about someone to come. And so there's a lot of them that probably aren't obvious. So I just want to look at the ones that I think are obvious. Even the ones today that we might call obvious messianic prophecies, maybe if I was reading the Old Testament, they wouldn't be obvious to me. Let me just give an example of one that's not obvious. Psalms 41:9 says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So if I read that today, and I have a little knowledge, and which most of you do, that probably there's a light bulb that goes off and says, hey, that's probably talking about Jesus and Judas, because we know that Judas betrayed Jesus. But in my mind, that's probably not an obvious prophecy. Because if I were just reading the Old Testament without any knowledge of Jesus, it probably wouldn't occur to me that that's about the Messiah. So I just want to look at ones that in my mind are obvious ones. And the reason I want to do that is, one, I'm trying to prevent us from finding things about Jesus that we know and then going back and trying to say, okay, well, this prophecy fits Jesus. To me, that's kind of like the man who is, maybe you've all heard about the man who was shooting the arrows in the woods, and someone came up behind him and they saw that he continued to hit the target. There was an arrow in the middle of all these targets of these trees. And finally, the man who saw all these targets came upon the man who was shooting him. And he said, hey, you're a really good shot. He goes, well, not really. He goes, I just shoot the arrow and then I just draw the target around it. And so we don't want to do that. We want to actually figure out what was the target that the Old Testament painted? What's the criteria? And see, did Jesus hit that target? Rather than saying, okay, well, here's Jesus and we know all this about him. Let's go back to the Old Testament and see what fits. Let's do it the other way around. Let's see, what was that target? What are the criteria? And then we can come to a conclusion. Did Jesus really fit all that criteria that's put in the Old Testament? So that's why I want to pick the obvious ones. And two, the obvious ones I think are good to look at because this gives us an opportunity to share with others. They can read in the Old Testament and say this is an obvious prediction. And then we can look and say, well, did Jesus, that way it won't be controversial. We can say, well, did Jesus fit these? So here's the five passages I'd like to look at today. Again, I'd just like to turn to each of these five passages. From those five passages, we come up with a list of criteria about the Messiah. And then we can look at that criteria and say, did Jesus really fit all the criteria of the Messiah that the Old Testament predicted? And these passages were all written at least 500 years before Jesus came. Most of them probably in the 600 to 800 year range before Jesus came. So let's start with the first one here, Deuteronomy the 18th chapter. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles there, we're going to see in this passage a prediction about the Messiah. And we're going to come up with some of our criteria. Deuteronomy the 18th chapter, the 15th verse. This is Moses talking. And he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst and from your brethren. Him you shall hear. So we'll just go with that single verse there. And again, this to me is an obvious prediction about someone to come. We can read that and say, okay, that's pretty obvious. This is a prediction about someone to come. And the Jews, when they read that, they said, this is about the Messiah. We can see in their ancient writings, they would write about the Messiah to come. And they would say, this is about the Messiah. So we have some criteria we can come up with about the Messiah from this verse. And I see two here. One, we see that he'd be Jewish. Moses says that the Lord's going to raise up someone from among your midst, from among your brethren. So we see that the Messiah is going to be Jewish. That's the prediction the Old Testament makes. And the other criteria here is that the Messiah would be a prophet. Moses said he'll be a prophet like me. So there's two criteria. So let's look at the next passage, Isaiah the 9th chapter. Again, we're just looking at passages that predict what this Messiah is going to be like. Isaiah the 9th chapter. We'll look at verses 6 and 7 here. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So again, this is an obvious prediction about the Messiah. Even before Jesus came, the Jews looked at this passage and said, this is going to be about the Messiah. And we can see why the Jews were excited, can't we, about this Messiah to come. These are some pretty lofty requirements that the Old Testament predicts about the Messiah. So let's look at some of these additional criteria. Here we see that the prediction is made that the Messiah would be male in verse 6. And that's an interesting, you say, okay, well, that's not a real hard criteria to meet. But automatically, the Lord's eliminating half the population there when he says that this person is going to be male. So he's kind of really narrowing down the criteria and the probability that one person would fit all these. So the criteria is that he would be male. And then the rest of the criteria given here really are a description of what this person will be like. It says he will be called by these names, meaning this is what this person is going to be like. It gives the name Mighty God. Another piece of criteria, Everlasting Father in verse 6. Wonderful in verse 6. Counselor in verse 6. Verse 6 also mentions Prince of Peace. And then verse 7 gives us two more criteria. Says that he will be over a large and growing government. And then finally, that he will reign forever. So we've got some lofty requirements here that the Old Testament gives for this upcoming Messiah. So that gives us, if I'm counting right, 10 criteria so far. So let's turn over maybe just a page or two in your Bible to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Another messianic prophecy. And from this we get four more criteria. Let me read from the first four verses of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So again, another what I call obvious prophecy about the Messiah, about this ruler to come. And from this, we get four more criteria. We're told, first of all, that he'll be from the bloodline of Jesse. We see that in verse 1. In verse 2, we see that this ruler, this Messiah, will be wise and understanding. Verse 3, we see that he will fear the Lord. And verse 4, we see that this ruler will judge with righteousness. So four more criteria added to this list of criteria for the Messiah. Two more passages to look at. The first one in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. And I've also listed up here on this overhead slide, Jeremiah 33:14. It's just a parallel passage that makes a very similar prediction and list of criteria. But so you can turn to either one of these, and I think, and get this same list of criteria. But I'm going to turn to Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So here we have four more criteria about this Messiah to come. We see that we have six here. He'll be from the lineage of David. He would execute judgment. He would execute righteousness. He would be a savior. He would be a king. And then finally, he'll be righteousness for his people. That's what I take from he'll be called the Lord, our righteousness. He's going to be righteousness for his people. Let's look at one final passage that talks about the Messiah and the qualifications that this person must meet to be the Messiah. Micah, the 5th chapter. Micah, the 5th chapter, and let me read the second verse here. From this verse, we get two more criteria. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Now this is an interesting prophecy about the Messiah because it tells exactly what town this Messiah is going to come from. And again, this is an obvious prediction about the Messiah. All the Jews before Jesus came agreed that this was about the Messiah. They knew the Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem. And so that's an interesting prediction. In making this prediction, the Lord eliminates all other towns that this person could come from. The Messiah can only come from Bethlehem, according to this prophecy. And then the other criteria here is that, and maybe it's an understood criteria, but the Messiah will be a ruler. So there's five passages, and let's just kind of summarize all of the criteria that we've read from these five passages. And I won't read through them again, but you can see them up here. There's 21 total criteria just based on these five obvious passages that this Messiah must meet. These were all predicted hundreds of years before Jesus came. And so now we have to ask ourselves a question. Did Jesus really meet all these criteria? But before we do that, I'd like to just think about what's the probability that one person could actually meet all these criteria? You know, some of these, you look at it, they're pretty lofty requirements. What are the odds that Jesus could meet all these criteria? And some of these, there's just no way to really know, to statistically look at and say, well, what's the probability of that? But some of them we can. Some of them we can come to that conclusion and say, well, what's the probability that Jesus would meet these criteria? I'd like to look at just five criteria. Because some of this, we have enough data to figure out what the probability would be. You know, some things like if you look at, he would execute judgment. You know, I don't know that we have data to find out throughout history how many people have executed judgment and how many people haven't. And so that's the odds that this person would execute judgment. We don't really have that information. But I think for the five I have listed up here, we have enough data to figure out, well, what's the probability that Jesus could actually meet these criteria? The first one's pretty easy, right? Male. What's the probability that Jesus would fit the criteria of being male? And of course, that's roughly, it'd be 1 in 2, right? That's about half the population's male and about half is female. So there's about a 50% chance that Jesus would be able to meet that criteria and would be the Messiah in his time. What about what's the possibility that someone would be born Jewish in the time of Jesus? Well, someone did a little research on this. Luke Timothy Johnson, who is a New Testament professor at Emory's University Chandler School of Theology, he did some research and estimated that the Jewish population around the time of Jesus was about 7 million. So 7 million was the population at that time of Jews. Now, the world population at that time was about 300 million. So the odds that someone would be born Jewish in that time was 7 million and 300 million would be, if you break that down, it'd be about 1 in 42. That's the odds of that happening. Now, what are the odds that someone would be a descendant of David in the time of Jesus? Well, we can come to at least a conservative estimate on that. We know that in the life of David, he actually did a census on the population of Israel. 1 Chronicles 21:5 is where that census is recorded. And at that time, there was about 1,100,000 men in Israel. So 1.1 million. So this will be a conservative estimate. That was just the population of Israel. And so we're trying to figure out, well, what's the probability that someone would be a descendant of David in the time of Jesus, so we can look at, well, how many descendants did David have? How many sons did he have? And we know the Bible tells us that David had 19 sons. So we take David, who is one, plus 19 sons. That's 20 different people that could come from, that be a descendant of David. And you take that into the number of people, of Jews at that time, and that was, again, 1.1 million. So the odds of that, someone being a descendant of David in the time of Jesus, would be 1 in 55,000. That's the odds of that happening. And that's a conservative estimate because that's just the population of Israel at that time. So what about being born in Bethlehem? Now, this one's, you know, of all the cities, what's the odds that someone would be born in Bethlehem? Well, again, we can come to maybe a conservative estimate on that. Peter Stoner, who is an author and he was a chairman of the science division at Westmont College, he determined that the average population of Bethlehem, he took the average population of Bethlehem from the time of Micah to present day, and then divided it by the average population of the earth during the same period. And he concluded that the chance of one man being born in Bethlehem during the time of Jesus was about 1 in 300,000. That was the odds of that happening. And then finally, we have here, what are the odds that someone would be a prophet? And I don't know that we can really come to a good conclusion on that. We can take a very conservative guess. The Bible only records 48. You know, it covers a lot of history. It's one of the few books that even talks about prophets. It only records 48 prophets throughout all of it, the history that it records. And so that's 48 overall population. And today, I don't know that we, you know, the population today is, I think it's over 7 billion now. I don't know that we have any confirmed prophets today. If we do, I don't know of them. But even if we were to make a very conservative estimate, what are the odds that someone would be a prophet? We could say maybe 1 in 1,000, okay? So we've got all these criteria here. And these are, just to meet one of these, we can say it'd be 1 in 42 to be a Jew, 1 in 2 to be a male. But what about that we put these together? What if we put these five criteria together? What's the odds that someone would meet just these five criteria of the 21 we looked at? I don't know if you remember from school, I had to look it up. To figure out the probability of something, you take each of the separate probabilities and you multiply them together. So we'd multiply these together, 1 in 2 times 1 in 42 times 1 in 55,000. You take all five of those, multiply them together, and that tells us what is the probability that someone would meet just five of these criteria in the life of Jesus. And even as we figured conservatively here, that leaves us with a huge number. I think that number is 1 in 1.3 quadrillion. I think that's what that number is, 1.3 quadrillion. So the odds of Jesus just meeting five of these is, if you would say your odds are 1 in 1.3 quadrillion, they'd say, well, it's impossible, right? It's a number that we don't really comprehend. I mean, just to give you some perspective, your odds of being hit by lightning in the state of Missouri are, I think, 1 in 700,000. So you're 2 million times more likely, 2 million times more likely to hit by lightning in your lifetime than it would be to see someone fulfill just five of these. But what if we looked at, 21 of them? Well, again, we can't really come to that conclusion, but if we ever saw all these come to pass in one person's lifetime, we'd have to say there's something supernatural here. It's not just coincidence that someone could fill all these criteria. Peter Stoner, in his book, found 48 prophecies that pertain to Jesus, and he tried to figure the probability as well. He said the probability that someone could fulfill all 48 prophecies in their lifetime would be 1 in 10 to the 158th power. So it would be 1 in 10 and then 158 zeros behind that 10. And I don't even know how you say that number. But 1 in 10 to the 158th power. Imagine that number, a 10 with 158 zeros behind it. That's what he figured was the probability that one person could meet all the 48 criteria listed of the Messiah in the Old Testament. If someone truly could meet all these criteria, they would have to be providential. There's just no other way it would happen. So the question it leaves us with is, given these probabilities, did Jesus really fulfill all of these? Did he fulfill the 21 we looked at? And the resounding answer is yes. Yes, Jesus did fulfill all 21 of those prophecies we looked at. And we don't have time to go through and look at each one of these. If you're interested in this information, I can certainly get it to you. But we can look in the New Testament and see that Jesus fulfilled all 21 of the prophecies that we looked at this morning. And there's more beyond the ones we looked at that he fulfilled. And it wasn't just happenstance. We looked at the probability of that happening. It's really impossible without the hand of God being in play here. I guess the message I'd like to leave you with today is that The Lord did not leave us without evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, we talked in class this morning about our reasonable service, our intellectual, you know, it's an intellectual thing. Some of it's an intellectual exercise. Intellectually, we can come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, we walk by faith. But the Lord has certainly left us evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. The Lord predicted all the criteria that the Messiah must meet. 600 years before Jesus came, the Lord wrote in one of the most popular books ever, the Lord recorded the criteria that the Messiah must meet. Hundreds of years later, Jesus came and fulfilled each one of those. The probabilities of that happening are just really incomprehensible. The Lord did not leave us without ample evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. We can with conviction say today that Jesus is the Messiah. The facts point to it. We walk by faith, but I feel pretty good about that faith based on the facts, based on the evidence that the Lord has left us. He hasn't left us without evidence. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah, and today he reigns over his kingdom. He is that everlasting ruler that was prophesied about. He is the Savior that was prophesied about. So this morning we offer the invitation to those who maybe you've had doubts about Jesus. We present this case to you that Jesus is the Messiah. And if you come to the realization that you're a sinner, that you have a problem with sin, and then you need to do something about it, Jesus is that answer. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior that the Old Testament predicted. If you realize that you're in that situation and you realize you need to make a change, we offer the invitation at this time. We offer you the chance to confess your sins, to repent of them, to make a change in your life, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. We offer that invitation as we stand and sing the song that Paul has selected.